Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
College football has a new national champion. Shout out to the Michigan Wolverines. Hail, hail to Michigan. 106 rushing yards for Edwards, plus another 100-plus for Blake Corum. Michigan over 300 rushing yards, and Jim Harbaugh hoists the national championship trophy. 25-plus million people were watching the game, but more important than what happened on the field, because we've already celebrated that. Y'all know what happened. I'm joined by the one and only Joel Klatt. There is no greater mind when talking about college football than the man next to me. Klatt, I've been waiting for this.
I just gotta come on this show every week. It makes me feel so good about myself.
Okay, invaluable insight, family. Invaluable insight you are about to be privileged to hear for the next few minutes as I talk to Klatt about this one. So we know Michigan won yesterday. Yeah. We get that. Congratulations, the confetti has fallen. But what does this mean for Jim Harbaugh's future? Did that national championship push him closer to the NFL, or did it bring him in closer to Michigan? Talk to me.
I think it's closer to the NFL because he went to Michigan for one very specific reason. This was his baby. Remember now, this was his alma mater. He went there for one specific reason, which was to get Michigan back to a position of prominence in the sport, to return it to excellence. That's what he has done. So the goal in a lot of ways for Jim Harbaugh has been reached. The objective has been finalized. And now he really only has one thing left to do in this sport, which is try to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. Now, while I will not enjoy seeing Jim walk to the NFL, I do think that's where he's headed because he reached the objective at Michigan. Plus, and this is where I think it gets interesting, why would he want to deal with the NCAA over the next 12 months plus, dealing with all the bureaucracy and red tape and all the investigations going on when he can just go to the National Football League? Now, some of those are self-inflicted, there's no doubt, but this latest notice of allegation that stems back from a recruiting violation in the dead period of COVID when a recruit showed up at their building. Did he have an analyst on the field? So on and so forth. These all minutia type of rules. If I'm not mistaken, there's still rules on the books for the NCAA about inducements. You cannot pay a player directly to come to your school. So why did I see a bunch of players rolling up to their national letter of intent signings in Lambos and Bentleys? And the NCAA didn't give notice of allegations to them. So if you're Jim Harbaugh, why are you dealing with that organization? You achieved the objective. You won the national championship. And I do think that he's going to go to the National Football League.
Contextualize this for me. Thinking about modern day coaches, Pete Carroll, Jimmy Johnson, they won national championships and they won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
If Jim Harbaugh does make it to the next level, if he can go back to a Super Bowl, remember he went in 2012 and lost to his brother.
Yeah.
If he can go back and win, contextualize where does Jim Harbaugh fall in the grand scheme of great coaches in the history, not of the NFL, not of college, not of high school, but in the history of the game of football?
Yeah, I think, well, we'll get to history in a second, but I think currently, today, this morning, Jim Harbaugh is a top four coach in the sport of football.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any question about that. He has succeeded every single place that he has been. He has built a very similar style of team every single place that he has been. He succeeded at San Diego, little known San Diego. That program was nothing. He takes him to a league championship, goes to Stanford when Stanford was nothing. He ends up winning a league championship, gets them on the precipice of the BCS national championship. He goes to the San Francisco 49ers when they were a mess. What do they do? Go to what? Three straight NFC championship games, including a Super Bowl.
Yep.
He's within a play, a series of winning the Super Bowl over his brother. Goes to Michigan when they're in disarray and wins a national championship. In an era in college football when you have to for 15 years recruit in the top four every single year, average top four classes, he wins the national championship having averaged a class that was below the top 10 in the last 4 years. This man is one of the best college football coaches that we've seen in the sport. So if he were to go and if he were to win, he would very simply be one of the only guys in the history of the sport that never failed. And that's something that is pretty remarkable.
Powerful stuff, Clatt. We'll get more on that here in the next 15 minutes. Let's talk a little NFL. But that game yesterday was marvelous to watch. Joining the brilliant crew at the desk, Farr and James Jones. How you feeling, big dog?
I feel good, man. What's going down?
My dog, you feel good. I see it's turtleneck season. I didn't get the memo.
I should have worn my chain. I like to wear my chain, my turtleneck.
Yeah. Yeah. Joy, you got the memo?
No, I've been wearing turtlenecks. Nobody's been going on the vibes with me. So I didn't get the notice. Were you upset? I know some of our Texas fans were a little upset.
How did Michael Penix not miss a throw against Texas, but against Michigan, he couldn't make one? Pressure. But when I tell y'all I was sick against Texas.
Do you root for the team that beats you?
I really wanted to see Penix play well because of the history of Michael Penix.
Yeah.
AC joint issue, ACL tear. But I was shocked and appalled. Well, from one champion to an aspiring champion, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Everything America seems to be lining up for the Cowboys. First and 10, means it's time to talk a little NFL ball. Cowboys, Packers, Sunday, Fox, wild card round. It's a little Cowboys-Packers rematch. Whenever those two meet, it's always good. Dak Prescott, he led the league in touchdown passes, but hasn't gotten past the divisional round of the playoffs. James Jones, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you first and foremost. James, I believe that this is the best chance for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There is no better chance to win a Super Bowl than now. Not yesterday, because that moment's passed. Yeah. Not tomorrow, because that day ain't promised. But now.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott has played as good as he's ever played in his 8 years in the National Football League. I do not know when and if he will get better. Mike McCarthy is coached just about as good as he is coached. Deron Bland has had as good of a season a defensive back can have as it pertains to taking the ball away. Micah Parsons, he gave you 14 sacks. CeeDee Lamb had the greatest receiving season by any Cowboys player to wear the number 88. It will not get better for my money than it is right now. Dallas Cowboys, James Jones, they have to get it done. Do you agree? It's Dak's best chance.
Absolutely. This is the time for Dak, man. This is playoff time. This is about legacy for Dak, right? We sit here, and when you bring up Dak Prescott's name, the only thing we say is he don't get it done in the playoffs. So all these numbers, you leading the league in touchdowns, you being super consistent, playing at the highest level you played in 8 years, this is all that matter right here, right now. Now, so for Dak Prescott, this is a legacy moment for him right here, taking this field, being able to make a run in the playoffs. And when you talk about Dak Prescott, he's been so consistent this year. His team has been consistent this year. They've been a really consistent team. You are going into this thing really healthy. You might be missing one or two guys here, but you're going into the playoffs really healthy. You're 15-0 at home. You have two playoff games at home if you're able to win the first one. You have another one at home. So for me, when you talk about best chance and you talk about being able to change the way people look at you, Dak Prescott, to be able to really change your legacy right now, not only as a player but as a Dallas Cowboys, these playoffs are huge and everything is set up the right way for you to go out here and make a run.
Yeah, it's kind of set up for them this year. I don't like to say never. I don't like to predict the future. Who knows what's going to happen next year? Like you said, they could have another great opportunity next year. But Shady says this all the time. It's hard as hell to win a Super Bowl. It's hard as hell to get to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get to a championship game. They haven't been in 30 years with all the talent that they've had over all these years. We argue about the quarterback talent. We argue about the receiver talent, the defensive talent. And last year, I thought that they had a Super Bowl-level roster. They had the number one offense, and the defense was essentially doing the same thing that they were doing this year. They've made some improvements, you know, personnel-wise, but this is a great team, and the biggest part is Dak Prescott is playing the best that he has ever played. Mm-hmm. That means it's all coming together. It's right there for you. Now, look, they got to take care of business first before they get to the next step.
Sure.
Every single week, this is the test. But, man, it really feels that way. And I feel crazy saying that because I am a Cowboys conspiracy theorist. I haven't seen it. I've believed many times. I've bought in many times. I've said this is the year many times, just like Cowboys fans do every single year. And they find a way to mess it up, and it's usually situational football.
Yeah.
So I think they have the personnel. I think Dak is playing at the level that they need to play at. They have Super Bowl-level coaching. It's just going to come down to, can they put it all together?
Mm. Yeah. This is probably the best time, I think, for the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. Not the Super Bowl, just the conference game. I don't like to play with the Super Bowl situations because it's hard as hell to get there. I know we always talk about that. But just getting to the conference game to have a chance. I mean, I don't know if Dak Prescott will ever play this good again. Got to take advantage of it. Michael Parsons, everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
All their top guys are healthy, from linemen to defense, quarterbacks, wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb, I don't think he's even touched his ceiling yet, so I don't want to go to his position, but he's really, really good. Then you look at not just the Cowboys, look at the other teams. Mm. So, okay, the Lions, who you already beat,
yep.
Right? The Rams, you would say that as
already beat.
Already beat, but in the playoffs, right, that we see the Rams play, this is not their best team.
Yeah.
When they won a championship, that was their best team, mm-hmm. right? The Eagles, last year, if we talk about the Cowboys, even how good they were, they're not beating the Eagles. This year, we don't look good. I won't even say that beast, but we don't look good.
Yeah.
Best chance to beat us now. Who else we got? Only team out there. Oh, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Baker Mayfield's the quarterback, so you know what time that is. Other part is this, though. The Niners. It's like Superman's kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only team that's going to smash the Cowboys, which they've been doing this year, last year, year before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, a couple years, they've just been doing that. That's the only way. So other than the Niners, I feel this is the best time for the Cowboys to win the championship.
But if they have no business.
Well, Shady, you made a point that I was thinking about this morning. You did a great job eloquently talking about it. The Cowboys, to me, this year are what the Eagles were last year as it pertains to health. When you healthy, you better go get it.
No question.
Last year, the Eagles were missing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and he came back.
Yep.
This year, the Cowboys have been missing Trayvon Diggs. But in his absence, Deron Bland gave you 9 interceptions plus 5 or 6 pick sixes. Mm-hmm. I get it. The Cowboys are missing their linebackers, but they found a way to make a way without him. So you are healthy. Offensively, CD, he been there. Cooks, he been there. Pollard, he been there. Dak, he been there. You're healthy. That's the first thing, because the Eagles ain't healthy this year, y'all. The second thing I have to say is, when is the next time we will see Dak Prescott enter the playoffs as the best quarterback in the NFC? It's the next thing. Like, when's the next time you're going to see Dak Prescott enter the playoffs as the best quarterback in the NFC? Another thing, the NFC quarterback picture, it is very different. Shady, the years you were playing, there was a Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. There was an Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. There was a Cam Newton. There was a Russell Wilson. There was a Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. There was a Carson Palmer. That's 6. There were only 6 teams in the playoffs back then. This year, there's a Baker Mayfield. There's a Jordan Love. There's a maligned Jalen Hurts. There is a Matthew Stafford, but his team does not have talent, predicted to have 4.5 wins by Vegas before the season started. There's a Brock Purdy. And there's you, Dak.
Mm.
And then the last thing is, we might think the Cowboys have a young roster. They do. But in 2016, they had a young roster. Frederick, he was young. Zach Martin, he was young. Tyron Smith, he was young. Dez Bryant was 28. Cole Beasley was 28. Terrence Williams was 27. And Zach and Zeke were young.
Mm-hmm.
Never got it done. So that youth stuff is cool. But you go from young to old real quick. So as young as this Cowboys roster is, to me, there is no better chance than right now, Joy Taylor. No better chance than right now, James Jones. The Cowboys are better than they've ever been. Dak is better than he's ever been. And the field ain't what the field usually is.
It's not, and it's mostly because of the quarterbacks, as you just outlined. But as you were saying it, I'm like, well, I could see that team winning it, and I could see that team giving this team trouble. And this is why I'm so happy. Oh, my God, I'm so happy the playoffs are here. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of predicting stuff. I want to see what y'all been talking about all season long. All season long, we've been hearing about Dak MVP. We've been hearing about this defense. We've been hearing about this offense. We've been hearing about Mike McCarthy. And not just the Cowboys. Everybody. Everybody has had something to say about their guy and what they've got going on. And I'm so glad we're finally at the postseason. All the talking can end. Just go out there and do what you're supposed to do. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Cowboys do, because this really does feel like, and I've been doing this a long time.
Uh-oh.
Every year, it's the Cowboys year. Every single year is the Cowboys year. And it ain't been the Cowboys year in many, many years. But.
Here we go.
But.
Here we go.
But the reason why is because of Dak.
You didn't say it.
The reason why is because of Dak.
No, but can you say it?
This could be the Cowboys here.
Thank you.
But it's because of that.
Only push, because I agree with you.
Yeah.
Only pushback is this, though. See, you know, I love science. I didn't even care history? What do you call it? Social studies and all that.
Yeah.
That wasn't really my thing. I don't care what happened
to me. You're a science guy.
But you know what they always tell me? They said, LaShawn, History always repeats itself. That's what they told
That's
me, though,
says.
Right? So you're saying that. Now, everybody here is in their 30s. I don't ever tell my age, but we're in our 30s, right?
Yeah.
Some younger than others.
And the Cowboys haven't went to, not a Super Bowl, but a conference game.
Yeah.
And how many years?
30 years.
Yo, no, listen,
Jay,
yo.
You're right. It is.
Yo, math
is
starting math. Like, you put this here, you put that.
You said you like science. Why are you talking math now?
No. Not doing math. I'm doing history.
Oh, God.
History repeats itself.
Oh, okay,
God. All them degrees, you ain't know.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
No, it is basically
scientific. Let's pick up what I'm putting down.
It is basically scientific at this point that the Cowboys are going to disappoint. It's reasonable to say that.
And that's what they told me. So as much as I see the other competitions not that strong,
yep.
As much as I see Dak Prescott playing the best quarterback play we've ever seen him play,
yeah.
As much as I see the youth and the health you talk about, I got to go back to that.
Yeah.
And when I go back to that, I see Niners beating them bad this year.
Yeah.
I see the Niners beating them bad in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs before that, I see them beating them bad. So I just can't get over that part. I want to see the Cowboys do well. Michael Parsons from Harrisburg, I know y'all told you that.
Of course. Yeah.
So I want them to do well. My Eagles, we're not really – I mean, I want them to win, but we're not – it looks like we're not going to win.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this. As much as we see all that –
yeah.
When we get back to the facts,
mm-hmm.
when history repeats itself,
mm-hmm.
the Cowboys, when the lights get bright,
yeah.
number four, the quarterback,
yeah.
you know what he's going to do.
We're not talking about the Super Bowl, though, right?
Oh, no, we're just talking about the conference game.
Yeah, we're talking about
the conference,
game. I'm talking about getting to the conference
game.
That's the blessing about this year is because you don't got to see the Niners if you handle business till that conference game. You understand?
Good point.
So
okay.
The Niners, right. You ain't going to the Niners in a divisional round. You handle two games at the crib
mm-hmm.
where you are 15-0.
Right.
You meet the Niners in the NFC Championship in the Bay.
Okay.
Right? And wherever that game may go, that game may go. But in 30 years, since they ain't been back, that's when, since they ain't been back
ain't
to the NFC Championship game, I don't think we've seen a Cowboys team this consistent. Right?
You say what?
In the 30 years to where every year is the Cowboys' year,
yeah.
I don't think from top to bottom we've seen a Cowboys team this consistent
okay.
going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only this consistent, playing this well.
Yeah.
Right? So as for me, and like I say, it starts with the quarterback. The quarterback is playing out of his mind. Coach Mike McCarthy is coaching out of his mind.
That's true.
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Got a question.
Talk to me.
Got a question. I don't know if what you're saying is accurate.
Talk to me.
2016,
mm-hmm.
Cowboys,
yep.
13-3.
Yep.
So good they had a first round bye.
Balling.
Dak Prescott got an MVP vote that
yeah.
year. Once again, he'll get another MVP vote. Zeke, 13, 14, 1,500 yards rushing.
Killing
they
it.
Were great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the problem was the competition was better. There was
yeah.
a man by the name of Aaron Rodgers who was present.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the run that the Cowboys can make this year, is it more about Dak mm-hmm. and the Cowboys or about the competition? Because we have seen the Cowboys be this consistent before. 13-3. I believe Dak Prescott started 10 or 11-0, if I'm not mistaken. He dethroned Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the playoffs. They were up.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers had to do miraculous Aaron Rodgers things.
Yeah.
Is it more about Dak or the competition?
It's more about Dak to me because was Dak playing the same way he playing now in 2016?
He's never played this good.
Exactly.
He's never.
So that's what I'm saying. So we talking about you healthy. We talking about you 15-0 at the crib. Everybody has to come through you. We talking about the competition is not that good. And you're playing at a level, since you've been in the National Football League, that we have never seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if Dak was playing the way he's playing now in 2016, they probably win that game.
Mm.
And they probably make a little run in the playoffs. But I'm telling you, everything is lining the right way for the Dallas Cowboys right now, right? You get the 2 seeds. You're at home. You're probably the hottest team in football. Your quarterback is playing the best football as a quarterback in the National Football League. They are playing really, really well. They're super consistent. This is their time. If they don't do it now,
Packers?
I'm not saying never.
I
ain't answering that question right now.
But no, you know what, though? The breaking news, I don't know if you heard or not, underneath the ticker underneath that,
uh-huh.
they say they're going to have the all-pro referees, right? So none of that stuff that happened against the Lions games.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yes, listen, you know what I mean? Beware of that.
Yeah.
You know, no refs going to tell
sleep
you.
Don't sleep on my pack, but this is their best chance.
This is. I agree
so
with
a good
you.
Game.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, speaking of great games, there was a championship game yesterday. 25-plus million people viewed it, and we have to break down not just that
horrible, man.
Y'all know that. We're going to show you on tape why they won, what plays, how they execute, what does it mean for Harbaugh's future? Did we just witness his last game as a college coach? And where does that championship rank in the overall position of sports? That's next on Speak. Don't forget, you can check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel. On.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the man Klatt, nobody knows more about college football than this man. Klatt, we already know that Michigan won. Yep. Can we for a second show the world why they won? I haven't seen anybody really talk about the fact that Michigan bullied them up front, and I believe that Washington had a little bit too much respect for McCarthy, the quarterback, as opposed to the running back. What I noticed was very simple. Washington did not define the gap for the defensive linemen. Washington kept their defensive tackles head up, and as a result, Michigan got a whole bunch of one-on-ones. Can you speak to me a little bit about what was going on with the rushing attack for Michigan and Washington's defense?
Well, first and foremost, you've got to understand one thing about Michigan. Michigan, I don't think that there was a better run game in college football at exploiting if one player was out of their gap. Okay, so we talk about gap control. Basically,
yeah,
if you just freeze it like this, everybody is supposed to be via alignment have a gap.
Yes,
so
sir.
This end, he's got the C gap right here. This tackle's supposed to have the B gap. That linebacker's got the A. This is where I'm with you, and it gets confusing.
Thank you.
If you play head up on the guard, now it's called a two-way go. So now that defensive tackle can take the B gap or the A gap over here. That means that number 11, the linebacker, has to read the play of the defensive tackle and insert himself into the front accordingly. But if he reads it wrong, which happens right here, then he's out of his gap.
Here's my question. Usually you only ever see this versus quarterbacks that you have the utmost fear of.
Yeah.
You want to play two gaps so you can go left, you can go right, but you don't have this type of assignment and alignment versus dominant rushing attacks. What was the thought process from DeBoer and the coaches for Washington going into this game?
I think that they were very concerned about basically what I would call the gap schemes from Michigan. So what you saw a lot of here was duo play. Was kind of it's more of a zone based scheme, but it's zone that's moving toward the play side, or blocking down and then without the puller.
Yep.
But what you end up having here is that Michigan normally loves to block down on the front side and then pull somebody around. That's gap scheme, okay? And I think that they were really concerned with that. And so what they wanted to do is play their linebackers off the ball.
Gotcha.
So that they could get away from the double teams. And then what you're trying to do is let them react. But the problem with that is that Michigan just came straight at them. And when you essentially have a veteran running back like Blake Corum, he can choose his gap. Donovan Edwards the same way. If he sees one seam, then he can exploit it. And again, Michigan is as good as anybody in college football at exploiting when one person does something wrong in the run defense, and they did that a couple of different times.
Okay, you think about the fact that Michigan, they beat Washington, but before that, they beat Alabama, and before that, they beat Ohio State. How does this championship, where does this championship rank amongst modern day college football playoff championship?
Yeah.
You beat Ohio State, you beat Alabama, you beat Washington. You know the sport better than anybody. How great of an accomplishment is what we just witnessed?
Okay, so there's two ways to think about this. The first is that we should have all seen this coming. Why? Well, they've got the best defensive tackles in college football, defensive line play, and they've been the most consistent and most dominant team of the entire season. Generally speaking, that team wins the national championship.
Yep.
The best defensive line, most dominant team. Now, the other part of this, though, is also incredibly unique. Why does Michigan not make sense at all? Well, for 15 years, we've seen a very specific style of team win the national championship. A team that recruits at the top end, has a top four recruiting class, in particular when you average that over a four-year span, and they have a top five composite roster. Michigan doesn't have that. They don't have five-star players littered all over their roster. So in some ways, this is the most unique championship that we've had in college football in 15 years. And in fact, I think last night actually presented a lot of hope moving forward for a multitude of different programs around the country. You no longer have to be Alabama or Georgia or Clemson from a couple of years ago. You no longer have to be dominant at every single position. Now you can actually win it by developing, being great at the line of scrimmage, tackling in space. The game is moving away from dominant programs, and I believe we're in an era now that we're going to see more teams compete for a national championship because we've got a little bit of proliferation of talent.
There it is.
Around the country.
But question about this, because Michigan did win. But did the best team win? Because Michael Penix missed a whole bunch of open wide receivers in last night's game. He did not play like his normal dominant, throwing strikes to everybody's self. Did the best team win that football game, or did Washington let up too easy?
The best team absolutely won the football game. The best team in a matchup has several different ways that they can win the game. Think of it like a highway or an interstate, right? Michigan had a four-lane highway. There was four different ways that they could have won the football game. Dominate on defense, dominate with the run game. J.J. McCarthy plays really well. A lot of different ways. Washington was on a one-way street.
Yeah.
If Michael Penix didn't play out of his mind, they had no shot of beating that Michigan team. What does that tell me? That Michigan was a better team overall. They were more consistent. They were more dominant. There was a reason that they were the favorite team, so I think that the best team won.
Okay, you mentioned the name Michael Penix. I believe that this is the best quarterback class we have seen in a mighty long time as it pertains to NFL draft picks. Caleb Williams, he should be the surefire number one overall pick. You have a guy by the name of Drake May. You have Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix is in there. Michael Penix as well. If J.J. McCarthy decides to declare, Quinn Ewers amongst others. But let's talk for a moment about Penix.
Yeah.
I tweeted yesterday he lost a whole bunch of money in the game.
Probably.
He played bad, and then not only did he play bad, but also he accentuated some of the concerns about him. A lack of mobility, a lack of toughness. You see him walking off the field, holding his ribs. You see him having to be helped up play after play after play. Did he lose a lot of money? And how much money, or at least, let's not talk money, how did your opinion of Penix change after last night's performance?
It didn't change a great deal, to be honest with you. I think that great players at the quarterback position, they can have an off night.
Hold on, though. I got to pause you there, Clap, because I'll be watching you every time you do a game. You and Gus do a phenomenal job. Let's go back. Deshaun Watson, he played great 2016 college football championship. Tua Tagovailoa, he came in. He looked the safety off, hit Devontae Smith. He played great college football national championship. Trevor Lawrence, as a true freshman, he played great college football national championship. Stenson Bennett balled out back-to-back years college football national championship.
Stroud in a loss played.
Stroud in a loss played great. So I haven't seen great quarterbacks at the college level not play great on the biggest stage as of late. Obviously, McCarthy didn't play well as well, but we think higher of him. I can't take that from you just yet.
I will say this. I will blow your mind for a moment. If Quinn Ewers makes the proper throw and beats Washington, then Penix probably doesn't lose draft slots. Because the last memory that we have is him just shredding your Longhorns.
No, that's real.
Right? So, like, in a lot of ways, he might get taken 5, 6, 7 picks later than he would have if Ewers just makes the throw into the corner, the proper
back
throw
shoulder
to Adonai Mitchell on the back shoulder at the pylon. I mean, that just entered my head when we were talking about. But I will say this. Okay. So much of the way that we should evaluate quarterbacks needs to be what did they do or what were they required to do in college versus what are they going to be required to do in the National Football League. You see, if you just take the two quarterbacks last night, Michael Penix was asked or required to throw between 20 and 35 last night because he attempted over 50 passes. NFL style throw. That means that it is a drop back style pass, that it is a post snap read, and I've got to throw with anticipation and accuracy and timing to tight windows. That's what he's asked to do a lot. Now, he didn't do it great last night, but on the converse, you know, on the opposite side, J.J. McCarthy is asked to do that maybe 5 or 6 times in a game. You know, so to me, Penix's game travels to the next level. What I saw against Texas suggests that he can go and he can do that at the next level. He can make accurate throws down the field. Now, he didn't against Michigan. Michigan's going to be a very unique style of defense. Why? Because they can get pressure with just 4. They can drop everybody else in coverage. They were running a lot of single safety bracket style coverage on the outside. And Washington was confused. And I can't, to your point, I'm not just going to sit here and make excuses for Penix. I think his game travels to the National Football League. Did he lose draft spots last night? There's no question about it. There were already going to be concerns about his health history, namely those knee injuries. But what he did at Washington on a consistent basis is exactly what he's going to be asked to do at the National Football League.
Well, speaking of traveling to the National Football League, Jim Harbaugh, many people believe that he might travel to the National Football League, leaving Michigan and going pro. Did the win last night, in your mind, solidify the fact that maybe one of the best coaches, if not the best current coach in college football, will no longer be in college football 6 months, 2 weeks, 6 weeks from today?
I don't see, unless Jim Harbaugh just absolutely wants to be in college and loves it and wants to stay there, I don't see the reason why he would stay. He achieved the objective. He went to Michigan specifically to take them back to the mountaintop. Goal achieved. Now, he would be having to deal with the NCAA, an inept organization that doesn't know how to govern its own sport, that's going to come down on them for recruiting violations, try to come down on the program and Jim Harbaugh for something that a staffer did. Now, you can make the argument all you want that, like, Jim Harbaugh definitely knew. He claims that he didn't know. Meanwhile, there's rules about inducement on the books, and we got guys rolling up to national letter of intent in Lambos and Bentleys, and those schools don't get letter of intent. What I'm trying to say is, why would Jim want to deal with that when he's already achieved the objective? He's got a quarterback in Justin Herbert that he could go coach with the Los Angeles Chargers, or he could go and be very close to his brother in that D.C. area, take the Washington Commanders job if they want to give it to him, and have the second pick in the draft. He could go coach Drake May with the the most salary cap room in the National Football League.
Really good point.
He could install his system with new players that want to be there and want to play for him. His parents can move right there next to his brother. I think it just makes too much sense for him at this moment to go to the National Football League.
You make too much sense anytime you talk college football. Invaluable insight from the one and only Joel Klatt. Thank you,
Thank you, my friend. Have a good
one. Well, when we return, we got to get back to the NFL. The Eagles are absolutely struggling. Kind of like Michael Penix last night. I know. Shady's Eagles, they're not doing great. Do we still believe in Jalen Hurts? That's the conversation when we return.
That's wow.
Glad, thank you, brother. Family, we are in third and long. That means it's the third topic of the day. Got to go the distance on this one. And the Eagles, what can you say about them? They started off 10-1. Then they lost five of their last six games, including the Giants, who made them quit. Jalen Hurts injured his finger, left the game early, and it hasn't been good. Shady McCoy, you're the Eagles' all-time rushing leader. Whenever an Eagles topic is talked about on national television, if you ain't the one talking about it, it doesn't mean as much. So let's talk about it. You still got faith in Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I do. The kid's having a bad year. We all been there. I still think that he's still a really good quarterback. You know, each year he's been healthy. He's been starting. He's been had his team in the playoffs. Last year, just in the Super Bowl. You know, and it's hard to really win when you're not getting a lot of help from your coordinator, right? I think Brian Johnson should do a better job of utilizing his players he has as far as A.J. Brown and Smitty. The same way they use CeeDee Lamb with the Cowboys moving around, same way they use Ayuk and Deebo moving around, Tyreek Hill moving around. We need to do the same thing with our guys. You know, make the game, simplify the game a little easier for Jalen Hurts. Get a defense, some winning dressing, something to look at. Another thing is, it's hard to be a good quarterback when your defense is ranked 31st as a defense. It's hard, right? It means that I can never have a mistake or a bad possession because I know the defense is going to let these guys score. A part of being a good quarterback, part of being a good team on offense is if my defense holds it down enough, that means we're going to get the ball a lot. We're going to get the ball again. When you watch the Giants game, you watch the Cardinals game, we didn't get the ball that much like people thought. We didn't have a chance to get the ball because every time they got it, they scored. So I think Jalen Hurts, he's having a bad year. He's not playing well, but I do have a lot of faith in him, a lot of confidence. I think he's a really good quarterback. And I think that, you know, as time goes on, we'll see the Jalen Hurts that we all know who he really is. Yo, hold up. When I'm doing my takes, why are y'all laughing?
What?
It's something funny over here.
You started laughing first, sir.
No,
you started laughing first.
You started laughing.
No, because y'all looking at me like
that. You're still about to laugh.
Hey, listen. It's one year. It's 1 year. Right?
I wasn't even looking at you.
And I didn't want to go first.
Jay, you couldn't go to court.
Eagle on the set,
Shady
man.
Couldn't go to court, boy. He almost got through his whole defense.
Hey,
look. Philadelphia, y'all know I ride out green, but it's looking bad, man. It's looking real bad over there.
Okay, let me try to stay. Let me be your outside voices, inside thoughts for a second. Shady, obviously, Eagles all-time rushing leader, right? You got to protect the brand. I don't have as much of a brand to protect.
Oh, so you about to just keep it 100?
Got to. Pay me to do a job. Got to do a job. I haven't lost all faith in Jalen Hurts, but I have definitely some faith and a lot of faith in Jalen Hurts. And it's real simple. He has one great year sandwiched between two average years at best.
Yeah.
His second year in the National Football League, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, average at best. Mm-hmm. This year in the National Football League, 15 interceptions, 23 touchdowns passing, average at best. Remember all the slander we gave Dak Prescott last year? 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions? Well, Jalen Hurts as a passer is the same as Dak Prescott as a passer was last year. Not talking about running. I'm just talking about the passing aspect. Kudos to Jalen Hurts for his 15 or 16 rushing touchdowns. I'm not at all diminishing that. I'm just talking about who he was as a passer this year. The other thing I'm thinking about, Joy, is Jalen is who we think he is. Mm. Remember, the Jalen we're seeing now is the Jalen we saw at Alabama. It just dawned on me this morning.
Mm.
The Jalen we saw at Alabama, he was good enough to get incredible accolades. SEC Player of the Year as a true freshman. Hard to do. Literally, never been done before in the history of the SEC where you get Offensive Player of the Year. Hard to do. Jalen Hurts last year, All-Pro. Hard to do. But Jalen Hurts was good enough to win SEC Offensive Player of the Year, but he was also good enough to not win the national championship game, get replaced in it. He was good enough to take Alabama to a national championship game, but he was also good enough to get beat out by Tua. Jalen Hurts was good enough to go to the Super Bowl last year, but he was also good enough to lose 5 out of 6 games this year. I think about Jalen Hurts' roster in the NFL. A.J. Brown, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, plus Miles Sanders last year. You got DeAndre Swift this year. Think about his roster at Alabama. Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Damon Harris, Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Brian Robinson Jr. He's always played with talent, and he's really good with that talent. The only question I have is he good enough to get it done? He's really good. Let's not ever make a mistake about it. Good enough to be an All-Pro, hard to do. Good enough to be SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman, never been done before, ever. But he's also good enough to lose in the Natty, also good enough to lose in the Super Bowl, also good enough to get beat out by Tua. He's really good. He's really good.
Yeah.
I just want to contextualize exactly what that means. Mm. Joy, you still got faith in Jalen Hurts?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I do. Just like we still had some faith in Dak Prescott last year. Mm-hmm. And what happened to Dak Prescott this year?
Ooh, Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, well.
Yeah, you were right about that, James. Yes, we had some questions. Mm-hmm. He said if it doesn't happen, it's going to be Mike's fault. Mm-hmm. And not only did it happen, he had him in the MVP conversation. Some people still think he should be in the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. Playing the best football of his life. Now, I'm not saying Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts are the same player. They're not. And maybe it will go poorly next year. I don't know. But we're talking about this year right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, Jalen Hurts has gone to the playoffs. And then the next year, gone to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, gone to the playoffs. And has an opportunity, due to the draw, to potentially win a playoff game. Now, they could lose, because they look worse than any team that's entering into the playoffs right now. And as much as we think, you know, whatever about the Buccaneers, they could easily win this game because of the way that Philadelphia is playing. Not because of the talent, but if you even look at the numbers between Baker and Jalen this year, they're not that far off.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I don't dismiss the rushing touchdowns as much as everyone else does, like, because they still count for the same amount of points. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is a disparity that is hard to ignore. Some of them are the tush-push, if, you know, whatever you want to call it. But they still count. However, I can't just dismiss the totality of what Jalen Hurts is. It's been a bad year. It's been a bad stretch. It's been a bad 6-game stretch. They haven't played football at the level that we think that they're capable of, that they think they're capable of. But at one point this season, they were the best team in the league, and it wasn't like the start of the season. They were 10-1. They had beaten all kinds of playoff teams and found ways to win games, which in the NFL is hard to do. For whatever reason this year, we want everybody to win by double digits and blow everybody out like this is college, and that's not realistic, and that's not the point. So I can't say I've completely lost faith in him because I've seen too much. And I do think that next year there will be adjustments made not only to the coaching staff, but also to his health and how they approach the defense and how he plays. This it doesn't, they're not giving him any help. And to Shady's point, Everybody needs help. Like, who's the quarterback that can win when the talent isn't playing at a high level and the defense is playing at the worst in the league?
But when you say, it's hard for me when Shady said it and you reiterated it, they're not giving him help when you add 2,000-yard receivers. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have never
I'm not talking about the offensive talent.
Oh, you're saying
we can't dismiss the defense. You can't dismiss it.
No, not at all.
We talk about lots of good teams and lots of good quarterbacks in this league. You look at the defenses that they had, and we talked about this with Aaron Rodgers for years. Like, give him a top 15 defense. But, like, let the defense not score. Let the other team score 30 points every game and see what they can do.
But usually what's interesting, usually bad defenses inflate your statistics. Right? When the Houston Texans went 4-12, Deshaun Watson led the league in passing yards because they score, got to score. So why Justin Herbert, not why Justin Herbert's statistics are so inflated, but his defenses are so bad, he's got to pass so much. Yeah. With Jalen Hurts, though, it's been interesting.
But Jalen's thing is winning, right? He don't, even from college, he talks about that. Like, I don't care about no yards, no stats. Mm-hmm. He wants to win games. That's what made me fall in love, Pauls, with Jalen Hurts. Not because of all the numbers, like, Herbert or Deshaun Watson, right? What's that got them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Yeah. You talk about having a resume and leaving a legacy, which he's trying to do. He's about winning. It's hard to win games when your defense is ranked 30.
No doubt.
And they can't stop nobody.
No doubt.
To your point, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. What's the question?
You still got faith.
Still got faith in my man Hurts. Yes. And the main reason why I say that is, what will I look like up here defending Justin Fields?
Good point.
And saying that I done lost all this faith in my man Hurts. But no, when I was thinking about this today, I'm like, okay, I stand up here and I defend Justin Fields. I want the Bears to keep him, right? Hurts has accomplished a lot more than Justin Fields.
I mean, yeah.
If we give up on Hurts, that means we're saying we're giving up on Herbert. We giving up on Tua. We giving up on Trevor Lawrence. We giving up on all them dudes. If we're saying that we don't have faith and we're giving up on Jalen Hurts,
wouldn't you say you've lost faith in Trevor Lawrence? You've lost faith in Justin Herbert? Wouldn't you? Like, you're right, but I don't have no faith in Herbert to win no playoff games. I don't have faith in Trevor Lawrence.
Because he hasn't done
Agreed.
It. You know what I'm saying? This dude has won playoff games and been to the Super Bowl. He's having a bad year. We all agree with that. I've stood up here and said, man, offensive coordinator, you got to help him out. You got to move some dudes around. You got to help him get the football out of his hands faster, right? The only thing that when I watch Hurts play football this year is the turnovers, mm-hmm. right? If he's doing everything that he is doing and he has 10 turnovers, they probably win 3 more games. But the turnovers this season, and you heard him a lot saying, I was pressing trying to make that throw. I was pressing trying to make that throw. Pressing trying to make that play. For him, that's not the way he plays football. And that is why I continue to keep going to the coaches. Like, you hear your young quarterback saying, I'm trying to press to make plays, because all you're doing is spreading people out and saying, you have to win one-on-one. And he's saying, okay, AJ made this jump ball 3 times early in the season. I'm going to give him another one. And now this one is getting picked off with no scheming, no nothing. So for me, I think coming into the offseason, I have not lost faith in him. I think the Philadelphia Eagles will go back to the drawing board and they will do whatever they can to make sure they could put this young fella in a really good situation to have some success on the offensive side of the ball, and that means not turning the football.
Question for both of y'all. Really, question for everybody. Last year, we talked a lot about Dak Prescott's turnovers, and I cannot wait to ask this question. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about Dak Prescott's turnovers, and every Cowboys fan said this, but Acho, that was an outlier. That's not Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And if you look, statistically speaking, they were right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the difference. Jalen Hurts, I would say that last year's great season was an outlier. And the norm is that he does turn the ball over. Jalen Hurts' rookie year, for what it's worth, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His sophomore year, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. His outlier season, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I'm only talking passing touchdowns and interceptions. I'm not talking rushing touchdowns, nor am I talking fumbles. I'm only talking air yards and air turnovers. Then this year, 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. So, Shady, if I'm asking you, we keep saying Jalen Hurts is having a bad year. Sure. But this one ain't great. The second one wasn't great. I'll ignore the first one. The third one was great. Which Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts? Because I've seen 2 bad years, statistically, as it pertains to turnovers, and I've seen 1 good one. So how can you tell me this is a bad year? Why aren't you telling me last year was just a good year?
I mean, my thing with Jalen Hurts is, and I guess comparing him to Dak Prescott is, first of all, he's a lot younger. And everything we've seen in Jalen Hurts is going up, right? Now, this year, he's having a shaky year. I can't get around that, right? But I just think that going forward, from what we know about Jalen Hurts, he gets better and better and better. So if you have a setback year, right, and we know he gets better every year, you don't think next year he's going to come back ready, come back better, more prepared, less turnovers? That's who he is. I can't make this up. Everywhere he's been at, he's been successful, right? Now, in the other years, more successful than others, but he's getting better and better and better. You talk about him in college. I hate to go to college, but since you went there, I go there. He left Alabama and then went to Oklahoma and got busy. Did he not?
He did, absolutely.
Okay, so then you come into the league, and I watched him play. All right, I don't know if he's our guy for the future. I said that. I don't know if he's the guy. Then he gets better and better and better. I'm like, yo, this is our guy. I can't let one year define who Jalen Hurts is. When you look at a guy, right, especially a guy with talent, you look at his talent, you look at what he's done on the field, you look at his leadership, and you look at how he approaches the game. Everything we look at Jalen Hurts, he checks all them boxes. I don't know if all the guys we talked about have that type of heart, have that type of determination. I don't know if they have that. With Jalen Hurts, you see that. So, yes, I'm going to take that on the chin, boom, because I did say it. But he's not playing well this year. But I feel like next year he'll be better, because every year we've watched him play, he's got better and he's shown growth in every situation of football.
Yeah, also, again, I go back to, like, the standard of what we're expecting from teams every single year. Like, if you make it to the Super Bowl, do you not allowed to have a down year the next year? Most teams do. There's a reason why we call it the Super Bowl hangover. Guys get paid, guys get injured, you lose
coaches,
have to replace personnel. A lot of things happen. It's called a Super Bowl hangover. I didn't just make it up today. I'd like to take credit for that, but we've been saying that for years. And if the Super Bowl hangover is they make it to the postseason, again, we don't know how this year ends. I'm not defending the Eagles. They look terrible. Mm-hmm. They could lose to the Bucs this weekend, and no one would be surprised. Or they could make it to the NFC Championship game, and we would all be surprised, but that's on the table. Like, there is a path where they don't even have that much adversity to get there if we're talking about the best teams in the league. So I just can't jump to giving up or losing faith. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't lost faith in any of those young guys. You got to get really far in the league for me to be like, yeah, we know exactly what you are. Yeah. We don't know what Jalen Hurts is. We don't even really know what Tua is. Like, these guys haven't even gotten to the point where they are solidified in their growth, to Shady's point. So, like, Herbert gets with the right coach. No one is going to be surprised if they fix that defense there and get him right, that he turns out to be the talent that we've seen him play at the highest level in moments. It's too soon to bail entirely on any of these young guys. I know we want results, and everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, and everyone wants to be in the championship game every year, and that's just not how it goes.
And another thing I think with Jalen Hurts is we only talk about Jalen Hurts, but, like, the Eagles team last year was a really, really good team. And Jalen played really, really well. But, like, as a team, even though Jalen Hurts is not playing well, the Eagles overall is not playing well.
Agreed.
Right? I look at every position, and the only position I can say is, like, really playing, like, phenomenal or playing well is probably the running back. Right? Can you look at the defense? They not getting no turnovers. Yeah. They not getting no sacks. Yeah. Offensive line, where we're usually pushing dudes around. I don't see that attitude. Right? I don't see that production.
Yeah.
Look at the wide receivers. I think we got some dogs wide receivers, but they're not playing the same way they played last year. Them 50-50 balls, give me that. Break tackles, touchdown.
Yeah.
Are you saying it? I'm not saying it. So as much as we want to come at Jalen Hurts, collectively as a group, we're not playing well this year. Yeah.
And for me, though, I think what we have learned this year is Jalen Hurts is not that guy that can cover up all these holes on a team. Right? That's why we put,
Not yet.
That's why we put Josh up there and Patty up there and Burrow up there, because we've seen them cover up a lot of stuff. Defense not playing well, don't trip. You know what I'm saying? I go down here, we're going to cover all this up. That's why we put those two dudes up there. Lamar can get up in there, too. They cover up a lot of stuff. I don't think Jalen Hurts is that guy that can cover up all these holes. And when he has to cover up all those holes, he starts taking chances. Last year, his really good year, all-pro year, to the Super Bowl. We can't really touch on a lot of throws to where we like, where bro throwing the ball? Like, why you looking there? Because what I remember last year is, whoop, ball out. Whoop, ball out. Every now and then we'll take a shot. But it was, we going to run this read option. We going, because our identity is the run game, which we still don't have an identity or what that is. And we are going to play action pass off this, and the football is going to come out of Jalen Hurts' hands fast. This year, we see him standing in the pocket. We see him holding the football. We see no motion. We see nothing, right? And that's why Bosa came out and said, look, keep him in the pocket. We ain't going to rush past him. Let him escape nothing. We want to make him throw this ball down the field, and they don't have no motions or nothing going on, and that's how you stop him. And that's the same thing that I was saying about Dak. Everybody was Kellen Moore. Oh, Kellen Moore, Dak done threw 5 picks in 1 game. You still taking shots? Well, what you doing? So that's why I said Mike is going to come in here. He's going to say, slow down, bro. We're going to call some safe plays. We're going to bunch formation. We're going to get you in all so the ball comes out of your hands fast. This year he's been pressing too much. I think it has a really, really big, big thing to do with his offensive coordinator and the way he's been calling the plays. They have not been helping him out.
Not at all. Well, speaking of quarterbacks who got to get on the right track, Tua Tagovailoa, he is going into his 5th year at the end of this one. The Miami Dolphins, they're going into the playoffs. They somehow lost the division after having a 9-3-6-6 lead over the Buffalo Bills. The question: does Tua need a win in the playoffs to secure a long-term deal in Miami? His face says it all. We'll talk about it all next. From the NFC to the AFC, Tua Tagovailoa, he has a huge playoff matchup versus the Kansas City Chiefs. He threw 2 interceptions Sunday night against the Bills in a losing effort. It cost him the AFC East crown. Well, now it's Tua's first playoff game of his career. Remember, last year he missed due to concussions. James Jones, here is a question that the world needs answered because this is pivotal for the landscape of football. Does Tua need a playoff win to secure a long-term deal, to be the franchise guy, to get real commitment from the Miami Dolphins?
I think he does. I think he has to make a run in the playoffs for them to say, hey, man, here go 230, 40, 50, whatever it may be, $1 million for 5 years. You are our guy, right? I think he has to make a run in the playoffs, and the reason why is, as good as we think this offense is, when they have played winning teams, they ain't scored over 20. Like, you look, they lost to the Bills. He had 280 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 20 points. Lost to the Eagles, 215 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Lost to the Chiefs, 190 yards, 1 touchdown. Got beat down by the Ravens, right? 240 yards, 2 TDs, 2 picks, 19 points score. And then the last time they played the Bills, 170 yards, 14 points scores, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown. These are the dudes you're going to have to go through in the AFC. Exclude the Eagles, but these are the dudes you're going to have to play. So when you ask me if he can't go in the playoffs and make some noise, this is our last impression of what we got of you going into the offseason. And I know the 5th-year option is already picked up for you, so I would make him play on that 5th-year option, see how well you play, and if you play extremely well coming into that next season under your 5th-year option, if you don't deliver in the playoffs, we will go from there. But I think just right now, you going out here losing to the Kansas City Chiefs and them saying, here go 5 years, $230 million, whatever the money may be or years may be, committing to him, ooh, I think you're taking a chance.
Ooh. But, Joy, it never works out when quarterbacks play on the 5th-year option.
Nope.
It never works out when quarterbacks play their contract year for either. Mm. Think about Dak Prescott. He played on his 4th year of a 4-year deal. He wasn't a first-round pick. Hurt. Dak Prescott gets hurt, and the Cowboys have to pay him an exorbitant amount of money. Mm-hmm. Think about Lamar Jackson last year. He's in his 5th year of a 5-year deal, if you will. Lamar Jackson ends up getting hurt. Could he have come back? We don't know if it's because he was hurt or because he wanted more money. Lamar Jackson ends up tweeting in the offseason, hey, I don't want to play for the Baltimore Ravens anymore. They end up paying him more money than they would have had to pay him had he just signed before this. It don't work out for nobody. So I hear what James is saying, Joy, but break down for me, what does Tua need to do to remove all of the nonsense and be worth that 5-year, $230 million deal?
Just win, baby.
Just win.
Just win. Brand just win the game.
Leader.
Now, well, yeah. now, there's a 60% chance of snow on Friday.
Ooh.
And it's going to be 9 degrees, like a high of like 11 this weekend. I don't know if you've been to Kansas City in the winter.
It's
quite cold.
It is cold.
It's quite cold. Mm. So it's even with the way that Kansas City is playing, it's a different temperature in Kansas City this weekend. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But you go win that game against a struggling Kansas City team, all this conversation is over. Because playoff wins are really hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that that's all it's going to take. I agree with you, though. Whether they win this playoff game or they don't, business-wise, playing that 5th-year option game is, it just doesn't work out. It's always better to pay your franchise quarterback earlier,
so
in my opinion.
You, because before you were ever an on-air personality, a panel, opinionist, analyst, all the things, you were a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So speak to me now from a fan perspective. And you lived in Miami for quite some time. If Tua loses to the Chiefs, he would have one playoff appearance in his four-year career. He would have lost it. He would have never won the division in his 4 years. He would have had two coaches, a brilliant defensive mind, a brilliant offensive mind. If he doesn't beat the Chiefs, would you want to see, as a fan, your Miami Dolphins commit to that Tua and that resume long term?
Because it's been a long time since the Dolphins have had a franchise quarterback. A long, long time. I think Tua is a very high-level talent. He was in the MVP conversation this year. He needs to play a specific way, but you can say that about a lot of guys.
Yes, you can.
I do wonder how this team is constructed when you talk about winning the division, especially when you're talking about the team that you need to beat in the division being the Bills, and you can never beat them. That's a little discouraging. But when you look at the business of it from a fan perspective, from a media perspective, from a business perspective, it just makes sense to lock in your quarterback. Because once you know what you're paying your quarterback also and how you're spreading that contract out, you know who else you can pay. This is all timing with a salary cap. Who you have to draft at a certain time to replace this position. When you get people healthy, are they going to re-sign them? It just clears everything up. Are you going to move on from Tua? Because that sounds good. It sounds good, but the Dolphins have been in the playoffs the last 2 years. You're not getting a high draft pick. So are you going to trade up in the draft and risk it on another quarterback? You're too good to be in that situation. So, and I'm not making an argument against Tua. I think Tua is a franchise quarterback. And the franchise quarterbacks are expensive. They cost what they cost, and the next guy passes the next guy. So $260 million sounds like it's a ton of money. Okay, it's a ton of money.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and somebody's got to make it, and everyone wants to pay their franchise quarterback. I think you pay him earlier because it just makes things simpler on the back ends. And I just don't think they're ever going to be good enough. They're ever going to be bad enough to be in a situation to get a top pick anyway.
Yeah. What's the question again?
Tua, does he have to beat the Chiefs to secure that long-term deal?
I'm going to say no. I mean, to a lot of things that Jordan talked about, just in Miami, I mean, we can't remember the last franchise quarterback. I played in that division, and it was always guys coming in, going out, coming in, going out, getting a bridge quarterback. I think we know how good Tua really is. I mean, he led the league this year in passing yards, right? We've seen what he looks like he has the talent around him with the wide receivers and the coach. I think he'll get paid. I think they'll use the fifth-year option on him. I mean, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with
last
that.
Year. Yep.
Yeah, I talked about that, but it's like, this is a spend money league.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess with the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, they probably want to spend that on Dak Prescott because they thought Dak was, a solid, good quarterback. Now, they didn't want to pay him that much, but they had to. It's a pay league. You talk about Lamar Jackson. They probably paid him more than they wanted to, but it's a pay league. So, and it worked out. You get your guy. That's why when you said that it didn't work out, I was like, why not? Because if you had to pay a little bit to get your guy, you got your guy. And now look at the Ravens. Now look at the Cowboys. Like, it worked out. I just think that when you talk about Tua, my concerns are health. This is the first year he's played over 13 games, right? So now I think about that. Okay, well, he's done good with that. Let's see how he does next year. He had a chance to win his division. They lost it to the Bills, but they had a chance. I just think that with the team that they have here and the players they have, they can build with Tua compared to not having them and then trying to rebuild another quarterback. And then your weapons are not, like, young. Tyreek Hill ain't trying to another quarterback? Nah. So they have what they need. They got the recipe to winning. Got the coach they need, and the coach believes in your quarterback. That's what you need. Once your head coach who's going to be there for a long time, we think Dan's going to be there for a long time, they believe in Tua. And when you have that, anything can happen.
But they do until they don't. It's real simple.
Yep,
like,
yep.
Kyle Shanahan believed in Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm telling y'all right now. Until he didn't.
He didn't. I don't believe that. When he watched tape on Jimmy G, I know he didn't believe in that.
Say what you will, but Jimmy G came in and instantly went 6-0, and then they instantly went to the Super Bowl, and then they instantly paid him. And I only talked to offensive dudes on that team at the time. They believed in him until they didn't. I'm just wondering, Joy, like, if you're Mike McDaniel, how much longer can you look at Josh Allen than look at Tua? How much longer can you look at Lamar Jackson than look at Tua? How much longer can you look at Patrick Mahomes than look at Tua? How much longer can you look at Joe Burrow than look at Tua? There's three Super Bowls on this desk. Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like y'all was up here and won them with – no. You won it with Tom, you won it with Pat, and you won it with Rodgers.
Right.
So I say that to say, like, how much longer do you think a brilliant mind like McDaniel can look at Tua, and I love me some Tua. Anybody on television, y'all know that. But then you look at Josh.
Hey, hold on, though. McDaniel's an offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
You heard him read all those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's on Mike McDaniel, too. Mm. You're supposed to be putting the team in a position to win. This is built off of a fast offense running through Tua.
Mm-hmm.
This is your guy.
Yeah.
Right? So there's
But he's not his guy. That's what I'm getting back to. McDaniel didn't draft Tua. You were there. You know.
No.
It's not at all
but
his
you
guy.
You came in. You made it very clear that this was going to be your guy.
Of course, yes.
I hear you. Things change.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also on you. Last year, okay, Tua wasn't healthy. Okay, what are you going to do? No one expects you to win in that situation, especially as a first-time coach. All right, Tua's healthy this year. You made the playoffs. No, you didn't beat Josh Allen. Josh Allen is really, really, really good. And I hear you on all that. But when I say that Miami has gone through a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of turnover, like a lot. It's only recent that we even speak about them, even have segments about them on a national show because they've been so dysfunctional, going through coaches, going through quarterbacks, going through all kinds of different talent. So it sounds good to just replace a quarterback. Of course you want Aaron Rodgers. Of course you want Patrick Mahomes. Of course you want Josh Allen. Of course you want Joe Burrow. These are like one of ones. God made it, boop, broke. Not another one. Go find somebody else. It's not that simple. It's not that easy. And I know that because they've tried year after year after year. Tua can play at a very high level. He has to play a specific way, and you need to put a team around him that supports him. We know that. No, he's not Josh Allen. But to say you're just going to go get another franchise quarterback, it's just not that simple. And you are so good. You've had so much success as of recent with the Dolphins. You have so much talent. You have two guys who've been in the MVP conversation, and Tua and Tyreek Hill this year alone. You're not going to be in a space to go get a top quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
Well, speaking of Josh Allen, James, we got to head to break.
Yeah.
But Josh is back in the playoffs. But do we expect him to make a Super Bowl run? Josh Allen and the Bills, they're one of, if not the hottest team in football, closing out their season, winning 5 straight, beating the Cowboys, beating the Dolphins, beating the Chiefs. Can they continue this epic streak and win the Super Bowl? That is next. Can't wait for this one. Let's get to overtime. Josh Allen, they have made an incredible, impeccable run. Won their last 5 games, including wins over the Cowboys, over the Chiefs, over the Dolphins to win the AFC East. Josh Allen, over 400 total yards in that final game, but he did have 3 turnovers. Bills probably drew the most favorable matchup in all of the playoffs. They got the Steelers to open it up. James Jones, you've made a Super Bowl run before. Do you expect Josh Allen to make a Super Bowl run?
I do. And I continue to keep saying it, that they've been in playoff mode for the last 6 weeks. And that means something going into the playoffs. And then you're able to get the 2 seed, which means the Pittsburgh Steelers with, is it Mason Rudolph? Is it Kenny Pickett? I don't know who they running out there. No TJ Watt.
No TJ.
Right? So just like we all sit here, we just had that Cowboys topic, how it's lined up for Dak Prescott. It is lined up for Josh Allen to meet Lamar Action Jackson in this AFC championship. And whatever may happen from there may happen, but this is his chance to make a Super Bowl run too. He's playing really good football on this 6-game win streak, getting him into the playoffs, getting his 2 seed. The defense is playing well. This is his time. This is his time. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday. No Joe Burrow, none of them big-time quarterbacks in there. And you got some teams coming to your house. It could be C.J. Stroud. Could be Joe Flacco. Obviously, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is Josh Allen's year to make a run, especially get to that AFC championship. And make some noise.
So the AFC Championship game, yes. I'm going to still hold a little space for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. It seems like the two of them are on a...
I'm surprised you said that because you picked Josh in the Super Bowl.
I did.
But
Lamar Jackson is really good. He's going to have a second MVP in the Baltimore Ravens.
They told him that too.
I'm wrong sometimes. I can still be right, but sometimes I'm wrong. We do predictions a lot. Mm-hmm. That's how that happens. Outside of the Dolphins, of course. I hope that that's the AFC Championship game that we get. If the Dolphins aren't in it, that's going to be a spectacular matchup. And like you said, whatever happens in that matchup happens. But I can't just say there's going to be a Super Bowl run. I do think that they are going to make a run to the AFC Championship game, though.
2-5. You won a couple Super Bowls. That counts as a lot. Josh Allen, will he make, can he make, should he make a Super Bowl run?
I don't, you know, joke and play with the Super Bowl like that. You know, it's hard to get to. I mean, it's only, but... couple of quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl so far right now playing. So I'm just going to go to the AFC Championship game. I think that he has a chance to. I think it's set up for him, right? They think about this for a second. They were, what, 6-6?
Mm-hmm.
They had gone on this crazy run, and he did it, right? They do this with all the injuries they have in that team, and then they beat the Dolphins. They win the division. Now they become the second seed?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. So now you got the Steelers, where they should win that game, and then you never know what happens. I do think that they can meet – the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. I can see that.
Now, question for you. If they do meet the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, James Jones predicts it. Joy says she hopes for it outside with the Miami Dolphins. You believe, or at least I won't put words in your mouth, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen has proven to be just as good, and in the playoffs, obviously, he's won substantially more games. Why can't Josh make that run? Like, Josh Lamar in the playoffs, Josh has been better.
Yeah. It's just a lot. Everything has to work together, right? This is just not like a flip of a quarter type of answer. I mean, because, like, you look at Lamar Jackson, despite if you think Lamar or Josh, whoever's better than him too, it's a team thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that the Ravens are head above shoulders way better than the Bills. Seriously, though. Offense and defense. They can run the ball at will, which the Bills don't do particularly well, right? And I do think the defense is a lot better, and they're a lot healthier, right? So it's hard to really judge that. I think the Ravens and the Niners are in a different class. I think they're, like, way over here, like, a different class, right? The Airballs is kind of underneath them. But Josh Allen is that good. I think the players he does have that's playing, like Stephon Diggs, some guys on defense, they can make a run for it, but it's hard to really put them ahead of the Ravens because the Ravens are so good.
Hard to do. Well, there is no more polarizing topic in all of sports than the topic we'll discuss on the other half of this commercial break. Justin Fields, he's a Chicago Bear right now, but he gave a goodbye speech at the end of his last game at Lambeau.
He knows.
Just in case, it's a wrap.
Is it over for
Justin Fields in Chicago?
We appreciate you, Justin. Thank you.
Hurry up, offense. The Bears are in offseason mode after Sunday's loss to the Packers. Well, they were already eliminated. Justin Fields, up and down season, but he did end the season better than he started, for what it's worth. The Bears have the number one overall pick. Caleb Williams likely to go number one. And after the game, Justin Fields, he had to get some things off his chest. Take a listen.
I gave him my all, so whether it's here or not, you know, I have no regrets. Shout out to, you know, you guys for, you know, making my job a little bit harder. But, just to the city of Chicago, love y'all. Appreciate the fans and the support from all the Bears, you know, in case this is my last rodeo with y'all, and just appreciate y'all for everything.
Aw,
Justin. JD was sad.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. There it goes. Look, Justin, I get it. You know, I haven't been there, but from the time that he came to Chicago, it was cool, right? They didn't really win a lot. He didn't have, like, a really dominant years, but he showed some flashes, good enough to be some trade value. Now, all that sadness is over. They're going to give him, like, a little to-go packet, you know what I mean? A little hoodie, you see the little baby bear, little baby cub, right? Go get Caleb Williams. Enough of all this crying. Let's get Caleb Williams in here. It's the NFL, right? I know it sounds bad, but that's the name of the game.
True.
Some players will get paid. Some players will get traded. Some players will get cut. In his situation, he might get traded. Or he might stay there. I don't know. But one thing they got to do, bring in that dude from USC.
Don't even play around no more.
Don't even listen, all that sad media, all that. I feel bad. I don't really.
Why? But you was in Philly. You had to leave Philly. You were sad.
And I was there before, right? And nobody cared about that for me.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I was sad, but nobody cared. And they gave me a new contract. I ain't like that. I didn't do that.
Shady just took off. What's the question? Did Justin Fields, has he solidified his future with the Bears?
He sure did.
He did. All this crying, like, and you know what? And then as the video going, y'all all sad? Like, what?
It was emotional.
Step out of it.
It was emotional.
Yeah, move on. Yeah,
move on. Joy, it's on you. I feel like his interview.
I don't think he solidified his Bears future. I mean, I think they're going to consider it. I think they're going to have some lengthy conversations about what to do. I mean, at the end of the day, he's 10-28 in his time there.
No way.
Wasn't all his fault. Wasn't all his fault. But we like to play this game where sometimes it's the wins and losses is on the quarterback and sometimes it's not. Yep. So he's 10-28. Dang. I'm not great at math, but if he was perfect next year, he wouldn't be at 500. Correct?
Wow.
Not great. Bad math. I know we went through history, we went through social studies, we went through science and math today. I think...
Is that Boys the Men?
But if he won the division and made the playoff games...
Right. So if we include the playoffs, and if he was perfect next year, he would certainly...
He was Super Bowl? Oh, wait.
I don't know.
Yeah. The point is, I think it is a risky proposition to not only pass on C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson, but the 5 to 7 other quarterbacks that are prospects that are in this draft, including Caleb Williams, who we consider a very, very high-level prospect, for someone that you've had in your building for 3 years and you haven't made it to the playoffs in any of those 3 years. I think 3 years is a significant amount of time for any player to show what their potential is. I think he has potential. I think he will play somewhere else and perhaps have some success. I just...
Wait, was that Boyz II Men? I forget. It's so...
Yes.
It's so hard to say goodbye, but I got to take us to break. Yes, but at least we'll see y'all on the other half.
Still set topic? We'll do this again, James. We'll do it 50 more times.
Speak is handing out some game balls. Who are the deserving players, coaches, staff members? Who are the heroes that we highlighting that you need to know next on Speak? Today for the 2-minute drill, it is time to hand out a Speak game ball. Now, very simply, we are picking some of the people who earned it based upon what they did on and off the football field in sports. For me, I'm going to Jack Harbaugh. That's the father of Jim and John Harbaugh. When I saw John show up for Jim yesterday, I said to myself, two brothers in a competitive field showing up for one another, always supporting one another, even though they have competed against one another in the highest level, particularly a Super Bowl. As somebody who had a brother, played with him in college, played with him in high school, and now we're both on TV. It's dope to see what Jack did. Game ball, Papa Harbaugh.
It is Papa Harbaugh.
I'm going to go with Mike Tomlin. No matter who's our quarterback, doesn't matter who we lose during the season, doesn't matter what they're talking about in the papers, we are going to win. Don't let him get another Hall of Fame quarterback up in there. Just for you, Mike Tomlin.
I am going with the young Jordan Love. First quarterback
I like that one.
In Packers history, first year start to the playoffs. He got a bunch of good numbers, just big time.
I'm rocking with Josh Allen from Buffalo Bills. At one point, they were 6-6. Fought all the way back to Miami to win that division. Miami had a three-game winning streak on them.
Crazy.
And they won it. Now they're in the playoffs. Got the Steelers. And we might have them going to the AFC Championship game. Let's go, Josh.
Ching, ching.
Shout out Mike Tomlin. I didn't even think about that. He's back in the playoffs, though.
Back in the playoffs.
He might get smoked. Not
okay, but he's there. But there's there.
Joy said, don't get all into that.
Let him have his moment.
Family, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for kicking it.